So today I want to talk about why, as parents, I think it's important for us to address our own mental health.
Okay.
You up for that conversation?
Let's do it.
So I just have been thinking about how parenting, I feel like parenting has even shifted from when we started parenting our oldest to resources.
As a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the resources that are now available to us with our 8-year-old.
Right.
And just, you know, this, all the different movements and philosophies and all the things around parenting. And also, I work with lots of mothers. And just talking about how addressing our own mental health hopefully is for us.
Yeah.
And it also really impacts our children.
Yeah. So can I go back to where you started?
Sure.
So why do you think that this in particular is different from when we kind of started? Like, are you talking about in a mental health space? Because in, like, from the time our 15-year-old, we did the whole baby thing. It was like the next child, it was like, we don't know anything about babies all of a sudden. Like, all the stuff had changed already in 2 years, you know? And like, so I see that, like, having babies is a whole different thing. So, but do you see that in a mental health perspective?
I do, because okay. I think there's more conversation around things like the mental load.
Okay.
That was not something that I don't know
what that means.
Thank you. I always forget that I use these words that I expect everyone else to know. This idea that typically women carry an unseen load in a household.
Okay.
Think about the things of family schedule that, sure, like, all the events may be on the calendar.
Yeah.
Typically, women are thinking about, sure, we know there's a birthday party on Saturday. I'm responsible for RSVPing. I need to get the gift.
Right.
It's the, how am I creating a social calendar sometimes for us as a family? It's the worrying about teacher gifts. And I mean, just all the mental things that women typically hold.
So you're saying that women in general, even if they have an incredible partner, such as myself.
Such as yourself. There is still a mental load.
That you still carry more of that mental load than usually husbands do in it.
Yes. Okay. And so I think things like this, there's more conversation mm-hmm. around mental health and parenting, even while we've been parenting. Okay. I think a huge part of this is also related to social media. There are two specific accounts that I started following that literally happened over the pandemic that have large followings because people just weren't talking about
mental
health.
They're just naming something?
Yes.
Okay.
Or starting conversation. Again, back to the idea of, like, mental load. I think when you and I started talking about it, you were pretty open about, like, I don't understand, because you are a very present, helpful partner who, even at times, a big bulk of time, we're the primary caregiver to our children. And yet I'm saying, but I still hold all of these things that you're not, like, I remember standing with you and you had the light bulb moment of, like, yes.
I don't think about any of that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, 100%.
And so I think sometimes there are these conversations, mental load, how we're choosing to parent, how I think there's, as more science to back some of this up, of how is my, say, anxiety as a mother impacting baby in utero? How is my anxiety impacting my parenting just in general? How are my children taking on my anxiety, my depressive symptoms? And so there's this larger conversation, I think, happening in the world that people are just more conscientious about how, I guess, because I predominantly see women, how their mental health is impacting the entirety of their family.
Okay. Yes, I get all that. And I think you're right. Is this just another, like, form of mom guilt, though? Like, oh no, my anxiety is affecting my family? Is it just more stuff for women to worry about that are like already worried about too much stuff?
I mean, always. Okay. That could always right. be the case.
Right.
And a lot of women that I see are realizing that their level of anxiety, the significance of their mental health, they're not functioning potentially in a way that they had okay. previously.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I would differentiate
yeah,
it.
No, like, that makes sense.
And of course there's mom guilt because like basically yeah. me breathing, yeah. I have guilt about, right. you know, how I'm breathing and how much air am right. I, you know,
yeah.
taking from my children and
yeah.
is there going to be enough yeah. for them to have their whole lives? 100%. And so I, you know, I just think as this awareness grows, there are lots of women who come to see me and it's like how I'm mothering, I'm not crazy about. I want to address this mental health thing for the benefit of my children.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So what are some of the ways, okay, so we don't think about this. I think parenting is a whole thing that we get into in general, right? Yes. We've taught some classes on this from a trauma-informed perspective in the past.
Yes.
But I think anytime we've approached people about parenting, the number one thing everybody says is, well, that's how my parents did it. So that's how I do it. And I turned out fine. Right. And our question was always like, did you turn out fine? I don't know. I mean, maybe you did. But like, I think we think like we don't always think about the reasons we do the things that we do. And I think a lot of times we're not thinking about how our own state, how we're doing as adults is affecting our children. Is that?
Yes. And I think in doing this work for as long as I've done this work, right, there is no... I was going to say there's no book on parenting and there's
too many
books yes. on parenting.
Right.
I distinctly remember being in a setting where someone said, tell me what books to read. And I was like, here's my advice. Find the people who you would like to parent like
Ooh, yeah.
and sit with them. Mm. Because like if I'm frazzled and raising toddlers, I don't have time to read 10 parenting books and figure out which one I align with and then what I want to implement. So that's my sidebar on parenting. But I think part of this too is we, most of us, take what worked for us in our own parenting journey and bring that to parenting.
Sure.
Or how we were parented. Our parenting journey.
That's all we know. That's all we've ever been taught.
Yes.
Right? Unless something crazy has happened or we've intentionally like really pursued something different.
Yes. Yeah. And then the pieces that you feel didn't work for you or weren't helpful for you, then you're trying to figure out, I want to do it different, but I don't know how.
Well, maybe even overcorrecting to some extent. My dad was hard on me, so I'm going to be very gentle in my, you know, my way of parenting as a, you know, broad example. But a lot of times we're trying to make up for
things that we did yeah. not receive. And right. so I often talk yeah. about it's a pendulum swing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So we go completely the other way.
Right.
And I think there's also a balance of making sure we're not creating the narrative of all the stuff I have going on is because my parents didn't do it, quote unquote, correctly.
Yeah, for sure.
And as we have more knowledge and tools, how are we operating in a place that we are helping create healthy kids? Mm. I, you know, there's so much science behind how we come up with these episodes, which is really us being on walks in our neighborhood and being like, I have these thoughts. Could we do a podcast episode around them?
It brings clarity, though. I think talking through these things brings clarity for us, right?
Yes. And then we're yeah. like, hey, let's put microphones in front of our faces well. And talk about it.
Might as well put it on YouTube.
But just thinking about the lengths that parents go to for the right school, the right sports team, the tutoring, the coaching, all the stuff to get them in the right program and the right... And most parents I know aren't thinking about what about my child's like emotional and mental health? What am I modeling for them?
Am I healthy?
Am I healthy? And how am I helping them learn as children that this is a part of who they are and how they're healthy within that. And so I think there's this idea of, well, if I just get them into the right school, or, you know, they grow in this sports skill, they'll be like a solid human. When we know as adult humans, like, we're the worst. I'm the worst parent at parent-teacher conference because I'm like, yeah, yeah, academics is fine. Is my kid kind?
Do they have friends?
Do they have friends? Do they understand, like, emotional EQ? And teachers are always like, well, you're real special. I'm like, hi, I'm a therapist. And the reality is, once they are out of school, those grades don't matter. That sport, they're probably not going to go pro. Do they understand how to be a kind and compassionate employee, partner, friend? Like, that is, to me, what matters, of course, because of the work that I do. And also, these are actual skills that they will literally take with them for the rest of their life.
You're setting them up for the rest, literally setting them up for the rest of their life. And we set them up. We, like you said, we do all these things to set them up for college and, like, getting into the right school and, you know, all these, and don't for the mental health. So I guess I want to ask the negative question first before we get into the nitty gritty, not a bad question, but why do we not think about that?
Because no one is talking about mental
health. But I feel like everybody's talking about mental health.
Yes, and we're talking about adult mental health. And now, you know, read The Anxious Generation. Yeah. We're talking about how giving our children smartphones has not been helpful to their emotional, actually, social.
The opposite of not. I mean, like it's been detrimental. Yes.
Yes. Right. And so I think this conversation is coming.
Right.
As we do have access and research and these things happening. And you're still kind of like, when we started, our middle started therapy in early elementary.
Yep.
Needed some additional support. He is so pro therapy. He would tell everyone he was in therapy. He had no shame around therapy. Yeah. And people were shocked, not only that we'd put him in therapy, but that he was so positive about the whole experience. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I want my children to know therapy is lovely and important. Yeah. It's for different seasons of life. And we do talk about it to the level, you don't need to tell everybody like what's going on in therapy, but if you're comfortable, talk about going to therapy. And I think there's still, really what I think it boils down to is this idea of like, therapy is great for everybody else, but not me, and certainly not my kids. Mm. Because if my kids are going to therapy, I messed up with me as a parent.
Yeah, it'll get you every time.
Which is a real, I mean, if we're being honest, why not with the things we put on the internet?
Yeah.
I cried through his intake.
Yeah.
And the therapist was like, okay, what's going on? And I was like, I would tell everyone. I'm a literal therapist. And I would tell everyone to go to therapy. And having to bring my child to therapy as a therapist is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Interesting.
And so, like, also, I totally get that. Best decision I ever made. Now, we're 5 for 5 on people who have been to therapy in our family. And I think there's part of this, like, we know that it's good. We know that it's important. But how much work are we willing to put into it for ourselves and for our children to make it better?
Well, and is there a sense, too, in which we don't take action on this sort of stuff until stuff gets real bad? Right. Like with our kids, it's like, oh, my goodness, the anxiety. Like, you're seeing this in kids all over the place. Right. But
yes.
But we don't do anything about it until like it gets real scary.
Yes. Right?
And then we're searching for answers.
Yes. And so, you know, I feel this way. I'm like, man, every week we're going to find one of my soapboxes that you don't even know exists or you've forgotten.
If I haven't found them yet, I mean, it's pretty amazing, honestly. So.
But I think it's the same for adults, too. Right. Like. I always think we can do different work when you are not in crisis.
Right.
And it is the same for our kids. Like, are they struggling socially? Are you noticing a little bit of anxiety? If you can help them when that is just some symptoms versus they're so anxious they can no longer be in a social setting. It's just, it's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're saying when you're noticing small things that just aren't working and it doesn't seem like that they're, then that's the time to get them connected to a therapist,
yes.
Not waiting until like you literally can't get them to school because of overwhelming anxiety. Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense. But again, none of us want to admit a lot of times that we need help, you know?
So again, kind of this idea of parents' role in this is, if I am an adult who has gone to therapy to address my own anxiety, it's probably on my radar that my children might cope with it if it's something that I've dealt with. Genetics are real.
Even with the anxiety?
Even with anxiety.
Oh, okay.
And I also think there's an awareness of like, oh, I'm seeing things with this kiddo. I know what those signs mean. Not that because, you know, if I have anxiety, it shows up in the same way in my children. And we have an awareness that like, this could be possible. These things could be going on with this kid. And so I think sometimes it's important to do our own work so that we are healthy enough to see what's happening in our kid.
Okay.
I would say a lot of adults, I can't tell you, there's no way to count the number of people who've said, I didn't know I've been anxious my whole life because no one could name that for me. I got to adulthood. I went to a doctor. Someone named it. And then it's like, oh my gosh, this has been a part of my life forever.
Right.
And so I think kind of going back to this idea of increased awareness, people are seeing more about like, oh, anxiety is a thing. And we're talking about that more. Is everyone going to therapy for anxiety? No. Does everyone need to go to therapy for anxiety? No. And if your anxiety is keeping you from functioning, maybe it's time to think about therapy. And if I am a healthy adult, I have the space and capacity potentially to look at my kids and say, huh, something is off. Something, how am I curious? How am I exploring this with my child? Whereas if I've got stuff that I haven't addressed and I'm trying to survive, I may not have the eyes or capacity to see something happening with my kids.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I always like to put mental health in the category of like physical health because I feel like they're very similar and you can glean a lot from them. So it would be like I tore my ACL, right? And it would be like me refusing to get my ACL fixed and so I could walk properly. So I'm sort of dealing with this thing that's not quite working in my life, right? But not only is that I'm struggling as a person, I can't do the sort of things I want to do with my children because I've left something untreated, right? I can't play sports with them like I want to. I can't teach them how to do physical things because I've not dealt with my own stuff and taking the steps to sort of heal the things that I need to heal, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So that tracks, that analogy actually works. I came up with that on the fly, but I do think like, why are we so slow to sort of heal ourselves or seek help in healing ourselves with mental stuff that we wouldn't ever with physical stuff. Like if we're physically hurting, it's like, of course I would go to the doctor. Most of us. I mean,
yes.
there are people that are not like that, but I'd say in general, like if you can't walk correctly,
right. You're going to seek medical attention.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah. Also, there's a lot of ways to dismiss, numb, avoid some of the mental health things that are maybe harder with some physical stuff.
Yeah, you can't ignore that. Like you can't walk. You can't ignore that. You have to walk.
Yes.
But I feel like so many people are walking around and they can't, whatever the equivalent of that is, can't think clearly or can't function in their day to day or when they're around their kids, they're so dismissive and aloof that they're not building relationships. So it's the same thing. I think it just feels like we can get away with it with mental health in a way that we can't with physical.
Absolutely.
Health. Yeah.
And so, yes, I do think as there is growing conversation and I do think these are places that social media is helping bring awareness. I think social media is also causing some harm.
Yeah, it's part of the problem too. Yeah.
Right. Especially with like pathologizing.
Yeah.
People
when
and
you're
diagnosing
yourself.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And yeah. I think it's also opening up to, hey, when someone online says, this is how I'm showing up in motherhood and I can tie it to my anxiety, that can be a light bulb moment for someone else to say, oh, I've considered that quote unquote normal.
Right.
I've never had that named as anxiety before. Yeah. And so I do think, again, talking about our years of parenting, I just think there are more people talking about how mental health impacts them. Again, the content that I consume is about motherhood and how mental health impacts motherhood. And I just think, you know, we will continue to have more resources and information and awareness moving forward. And I think it's important to acknowledge where we are now, that we do have tools and things available to us. Are we utilizing those things?
Yeah. This quote, I always go back to this quote when we have this conversation, which is, and I may get it wrong, but you might have to correct me. You can't take someone somewhere that you've not been yourself. Right. Yeah. And I think that's such a so if you want your kids to have sort of that mental health, right, and you want to raise mentally healthy kiddos, you can't do that without having taken that journey yourself. Right. You can't lead them there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's acknowledging that health. That doesn't mean that if your kid needs to go to therapy, you also have to go to therapy. Right. It's that have you worked on healing and health in your full self,
right,
that you can support a kid who needs that kind of health in their own life?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a hard lesson to learn, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to know when is the right time, and it's hard to know where to turn to for resources, I think, a lot of times, you know. Well, I think we did it. Was that all you wanted to cover?
I think that's all I wanted to cover today.
Okay. Well, we'll have more, but if there's questions or people do have questions about resources or, you know, questions, I mean, you would be somebody that they could reach out to, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like that is what the purpose of this is.
Right.
Like my hope and dream is supporting people and families on their mental health journey, and that's why we make content.
I love it.
To be a reminder that these resources exist, and we know that it's hard to find them yourself. And if I can be beneficial in pointing people in the right direction, happy to do that.
Love it.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the With Counseling podcast, as we talked about how our mental health as parents can impact our kids and families. If you have thoughts or questions, I'd love to connect on Instagram and Facebook at Counseling With. Or you can send me an email through my website, counselingwith.com.